What I'm talking about is the GNU herd, and especially in the context of the Unix paradigm. And there are three things I'm claiming. The first thing is Unix is in bad shape, and if you're player of the board game Go, you know what a bad shape is. And I am also claiming that you already know that this is the case and how it should be instead. And I also say that we know how to fix it. So many people probably have the instinct reaction of saying, but the system I'm using, GNU Linux, is working perfectly for me. And this is true. It works for many, many people, including for me, in our day-to-day operations. But if you look carefully, you will notice that there is the perfection is an illusion. It's not totally fails, but it's also not 100% correct. And one thing where you can see this is that some applications hide the problems in the operating system. This is, for example, visible in the GNOME virtual file system layer and the KDE IO slave layer, where you have libraries which handle transparent access to FTP file systems and so on, features which should really be provided by the operating system. So you would then be able to consistently use them across all applications and not only GNOME applications, which have to be specifically ported to use the GNOME file system layer. And sometimes we also suppress our demands because we don't really know about feasible alternatives. So, like, if I would say my sound driver should be able to crash without taking the whole operating system with it, then you would probably say, how could this be done? And we have at least some approaches which could be developed further to allow this. And also, what is probably not visible to most users is that the cost in this perfection is extremely high. The maintenance cost of the Linux kernel is very high. So if you have a major release of Linux, after you need to wait a few weeks and after a few point releases to have a kernel that really works well. And we believe with a different approach, you can lower the maintenance costs and also allow the implementation of new features like low latency or SMP support in a more cost-effective way. And one point where the cost also comes into play is security. Security is very important, and it's very expensive to write secure software. And the Unix architecture undermines the effort to write secure software because its security primitives are not really up to the task. You can see this one particularly in the number of buffer overruns in Unix daemons. Unix daemons don't have a choice. They have to keep the root privilege until the user has logged in, so they can gain the specific user's user ID. And you can have different security architectures which are completely different and which allow you to drop all privileges before you even process untrusted data. So the queen is not amused, and this means that people are not really happy about the current situation. Many people are, but there are also many people, experts in the field, who need different things. And for example, the paranoids, yeah, they need a securely trusted system, and so they are forking Linux and work on a hardened version of it. Or you have the database developers, which say the virtual memory management layer is too slow for the database, the monolithic heuristics applied in the kernel don't work for them as well as they usually work for most users. And you have hard real-time users which don't really care about all the fancy features you put into the operating system. They just want to have their task scheduled at exactly the right time. And so everything that hinders them to do that is just in the way. And you have the multimedia users, which are not as hardcore. They need a soft real-time, low latency. They have completely different needs. They need the features of the operating system, but they also have to give preference to sound applications so that you don't have any dropouts. Sound experts are very sensitive to this. They can hear the delays in processing sound when they operate with several musical instruments. So the result is we are seeing many different versions of Linux. And those are not really, I mean, you could take a different version of Linux and use that, but those projects are isolated. You can only use one of them at a time. And the cost of keeping those forks accessible is very, very high. And the king, well, the king is kind of busy in deciding when to integrate a feature and when not. And sometimes this is not even possible because of conflict of vision. Linus says, I don't want the kernel to become a specific proposed operating system. I want it to be completely general, which it isn't because people need this specific features. And, or there's a conflict of interest. For example, if you need a secure kernel, you don't want a web server in it, even if the web server is faster than every other web server. So there's definitely the case that in maintaining a big monolithic kernel, you have these problems. So the GNU-Hurd should get a different approach altogether. The GNU-Hurd is, by the way, not a kernel, but a set of user space servers. It employs a microkernel at its base. Currently, we use Mach, and this is probably a big mistake, but at that time, there was no choice. So today, we are investigating the alternatives, and in the last decade, there was a marginal research in microkernels, but there has been research, and the research is pretty impressive. The L4 microkernel is one we want to use. So, but these are technical issues. We can talk about that, but it's not so important. The HERD is designed as a multi-server system, so you have many tasks cooperating in implementing the features of the system. And we have specifically went one step further ahead and designed the system to reduce the amount of system code which is enforced and trust-needy. So you have some servers which don't run as system code at all, but they run as normal user code. And the typical guidance for this, when to decide, do we put a feature into system code or do we put it in user code, is that we want to provide mechanisms to implement solutions, but we don't want to provide the policy. We want to leave the policy decision when to do what to the user, when it's possible, of course. Still, at the same time, we have implemented the system in a way to allow the servers to cooperate without mutual trust. So there is an authentication protocol which you can use to authenticate yourself to a server, and then you can use the server services. And for example, the virtual file system layer is nowhere in the HERD. It's not existent. We have it in the C library, which makes the C library, by the way, bigger. But the C library is user code, so the user can modify it or replace it altogether. And the C library contacts the several file system servers and looks for the file by itself. We have a very specific protocol, of course, and this works quite well. Then we have more features, POSIX signals, and so on. That's not so important. And we plan to put even more into user space. The capability system is interesting, but more interesting is the virtual memory management. So the idea would be to provide every task with a contingent of physical memory and then let it do the virtual memory management decisions itself. So a database application can say, I know that I'm using this data soon, so I will not swap it out. Instead, I will swap out some garbage that I never use again. And this is something influencing the policy decisions at this deep level of system architecture and leveling the system to the user, or is something that allows for very specific optimizations. And the challenge is, of course, to do this securely and fast. And this is not easy, I can tell you. And this design, by the way, goes directly back to the origins of Unix. The original Unix systems had the network stack outside of the kernel, and the VMS system had also such a memory system like this. So this is nothing really new, but at that time, it was not really possible to implement this so that the demands of secureness and fast were met. So what we have been working on is to find a way to do this efficiently. And we believe we have strategies for that. So some example benefits are that the herd servers do not require mutual trust. I assessed this already. So the system is capability-based. So the FTP file server could drop all its privileges, and then it could regain the capability for that user after login. And this is an obvious security benefit, which is quite simple, and it's known. And some people also say we should implement this the kernels, but of course they don't have a strategy for it because it's not designed that way. And so the other thing is that users can extend parts of the system or replace them or ignore them altogether. If you don't need memory, you don't need to talk to the physical memory server. Of course, that's an extreme example which doesn't work, but the virtual file system layer is by this way extendable. You can start your own FTP file system server and use it in all your applications. So greetings to Washington, Redmond, our freedom to innovate. Yeah. What I want to propose is the idea that people should be encouraged to contribute to the operating system. And this is why I invite everybody to participate. And I can do this because we have an architecture which specifically allows this. And the Unix design, in contrast, forces the principal leader to draw the line for inclusion, but also for exclusion. GGI project is a prominent example of this. One step into the future, I could envision the GNU Herd as a platform for OS development, which connects the different OS-related research projects. And we have heard from Michael Thiemann yesterday that connecting subnetworks increases the value of the network dramatically. And we think of POSIX as just one personality of the OS. And the advantages of networks, I don't need to tell anybody here in this room, are of course scalability, distributed development, low barrier to entry, and also legal issues can be handled better. If you think of SCO, then you know why having one big project which can be attacked is a bad idea. We are not there yet. This is my last slide, so I was hoping that I would not be able to show it. We have tough technical questions ahead. There are a lot of problems which need to be solved in this design. The infrastructure is not completely there, so the things we do know how to implement them are not finished yet. But we have the prototype on Mach, and now we are working on the really right. And of course, the ultimate test of all ideas is reality, and we will not try to avoid it, but we plan to show that this can be done. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yes, I'm looking very forward to the GNU Herd when it arrives in a stable version. Actually, you can also go downstairs to the Debian booth. Debian is the first distribution or operating system which has adopted the Herd as a kernel and offers a variant of the distribution which is Herd-based. Do we have immediate technical questions? Not questions for the discussions, but is there anything you would directly ask, because there's some detail you didn't get? No. If this is not the case, then I propose to pass the microphone on to Leo Tetsch. And I'm also very interested and excited to hear about the state of the art of Parrot, the future virtual machine that drives Perl and other scripting languages.